cool to see everybody getting baptized. It was also cool to see Joe Crocker assisting Chris with the baptisms. Did you guys know that we have tryouts for that? We want to make sure that we have the strongest of Cedar Springs helping with Chris on that. I was actually, a lot of people don't know this, I went on vacation with Joe and Becky and my wife. We went down to Mexico, and you know, we had a few fun experiences, but at the resort that we were staying at, they had an arm wrestling competition, and both Joe and I did it, and I didn't fare so well, okay? I made it to the first round and got annihilated. However, Joe got in second place. Second place. So he's one of Cedar Springs' finest. And so did you guys see his muscles? I'm pretty sure he wore a tight shirt just to show off when he was doing baptisms. But I think next time we will be hosting for real tryouts. We should do that, Strongman Cedar Springs. But all right, hey, great to have everybody in church. By the way, so that starting point, it's going to be great. There's a luncheon right after the service, and so that's going to start almost right after the service is over. And so if you're hungry, it's a good reason to be there. I'm going to be there just to eat. Okay, so. But we're in the middle of a series called The Statements of Jesus, the I Am Statements of Jesus. Jesus said lots of things about himself, and we have the Bible to prove that these statements that he made about himself were in fact true. And one of the statements that Jesus made about himself we'll be talking about today, he says that I am the light of the world. This is Jesus' statement to him about himself. He said that I am the light of the world. So we're going to be breaking that down a little bit, but let's pray before we go. Thank you, God. Thank you that you give us your word. I pray that your word goes forth today. God, I pray that we don't just be hearers of the word, Lord, but that we be doers also. I pray that you use your word to impact our lives. Use it to transform us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said this about himself. Now, if we know things about the light, there's a lot of good. Joe just came in. He didn't hear me talking about him earlier. So we're all good, Joe? Yeah, see? We're all good. So Jesus made this statement about himself, that he's the light of the world. Now, if we look out in nature, there's some things, some principles that we realize about light. Light, it attracts. Light has something about it. If you are in the middle of the night and you flip on a lantern and you're camping, what happens? All the bugs sort of, they find their way to the light, and pretty soon you realize you have a whole other issue other than darkness. And now you're fighting off moths and gross mosquitoes and bugs and things, because light attracts, and Jesus himself was really attractive. I mean, not in terms of his physical appearance, but people were attracted to him because of what he was doing, because of who he was. Something about him was unique. And we talked about this last week when Jesus did all of his miracles. When he turned the fish and the loaves, and now he turned just a handful of fish and loaves, and he fed 20,000 people, 5,000 men, not including women and children. Jesus fed that many people. I mean, people were flocking to him in droves. They wanted to see who this Jesus was, who claimed that he was the Messiah. They wanted to see the miracles that he was accomplishing, spectacular things. Jesus grew up in a way that wasn't that appealing. He was the son of Joseph. He was a carpenter's son in a small town called Nazareth. And they even said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's a town of only like 300 people. It didn't have the greatest reputation. Has anybody ever heard statements like, can anything good come out of Graham? Right? Can anything good come out of Kapausen? Come on. Is anybody from Kapausen? Represent. All right. God. So he said, one of the disciples said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus had timid beginnings. He had small beginnings. Yet he became someone that was so attractional that he was drawing in thousands and thousands of people that wanted to hear his message, that wanted to see him do great works. Light attracts, and we know this. So Jesus says this about himself, but also John the Baptist says this about Jesus in John 1:8. In John 1:8, it says that there was a man, John 1:6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that through him all might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. So John the Baptist recognized that he was not in fact the light, but he came as a witness about the light. And we know that the true light is Jesus Christ. And so this is what he says about himself. Now, Jesus is light and very attractional in terms of we're all drawn to it. But here's some truths about light, okay? Not everybody loves the light. In fact, I would say that more people are afraid of the light in terms of a spiritual reality than they are afraid of the dark in terms of a physical reality. It says in John 3:19, it says that this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So we know this. We know that those who love the darkness, they hate the light. Why would they hate the light? Because the light exposes. If you've ever painted anything in dim light, it probably looks really good until suddenly bright light shows on it and you start to realize there's all kinds of flaws. It exposes our flaws. It exposes everything about us. Light brings, it brings fullness of light to the situation. And so we know that we all have secrets, that we have things that go on in our lives that maybe nobody knows about, maybe things from our past that nobody knows about. And if those things were to be entirely disclosed, that's a scary thought. I remember when I was in Colorado, I was over there going to a church, and there was a minister. He was from Nigeria, a huge guy, and a big black guy, and he had these crystal blue eyes. And he was really prophetic, and he was in charge of the deliverance ministry, and I was scared to death of him, not necessarily because of his physical appearance, but because when he looked at you, you felt like he was just looking straight into your soul, and he just knew every wicked thought that you had, every bad habit, everything that you were struggling with, everything that you had ever done, like he just knew it. And I kind of wanted to avoid him. I wanted to avoid him because there was a sense that he would know everything that was going on in the deepest parts of my soul. And that's a scary thought. Well, Jesus knows it all. Jesus knows it all. He has exposed it all. And we can pretend like we have a secret, but it's not hidden from him. We can try to cover up our shame. We can try to cover up our guilt. But in terms of God's eyes, he knows all. He sees all. There is no blemish that he doesn't know about. There is no thought that he is unaware of. There's no deed that you've ever done that he has no clue about. Jesus knows all. And we see this example when Jesus was talking to the woman of Samaria. Jesus sat down with this woman, and this woman had no idea who Jesus was. We talked about this just a couple weeks ago when we were talking about thirst, how God satisfies us. And Jesus, he says to this woman, he sits down with her, and he says, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "Well, I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, I have no husband." And Jesus says this about her without ever having met her, without ever hearing her story. He says this, "You are right in saying, I have no husband, after you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." And this woman couldn't believe it, that this man that she had just met at the well knew everything about her. So when she went back to Samaria, this was her testimony, this was her report, that there's this man who claims to be a Messiah, and I know that he's the Messiah. Well, how do I know? Because he told me everything that I've ever done. And I imagine this conversation was a lot longer, but we just get sort of the highlight reel. Jesus told her, hey, woman, I know exactly where you're at. I know exactly what you've done. I know that you're in the middle of committing adultery right now. He exposed her, and she knew this, and this that's a scary thought for a lot of people. Who loves darkness more than anybody in the world? Who loves darkness, physical darkness? Yeah, it was physical darkness. Who loves physical darkness? Criminals, right? Why do criminals love darkness? Because nobody will know what they're doing. because they can get away with it. Burglars love the night. We have a phrase that we say, can you believe they did that in broad daylight? Because that's out of the ordinary. Because most of the things happen in darkness. Most of the things happen when no one is watching. When, you know, I've heard an electrician say one time that a criminal's worst fear is light. And then he said something else about ammunition or bullets or something. I said, you can only say that in Graham, and you're adding to that story about nothing good comes out of Graham. But here's what he said. He said they hate they hate Rugers and they hate light, okay? So, and I was like, oh yeah, I see what you're saying. So criminals hate the light because it exposes the evil deeds. It exposes the truth that they're not willing to deal with. You know, there's this story of a Hindu man, a religious man, who was convinced that he never wanted to kill anything in his life. And so he made a decision that he would never eat any meat, specifically because he would never want to cause violence to any animal. He would never want to kill any animal. Then one day somebody said to him, well, did you know this, sir? Did you know that every time you drink just a cup of water, you're killing millions and millions of little tiny insects? Did you know that? Little bacteria. There's all kinds of animals that are going through this violence in your mouth that you have no idea about. And he said, well, that's impossible. Because look at this. Look at the water. I don't see anything. And so they put it under a microscope. And what did the microscope reveal? All kinds of microorganisms doing their little work with cells. I mean, things were happening. And what did this guy do? This guy, he wanted nothing to do with the microscope, so he shattered the microscope. Because he would rather stay not knowing the full truth. Darkness has a way of kind of covering up the truth. It has a way of not revealing everything about us. Darkness, it actually blinds us to consequence. Let's all do this for a second. Let's just close our eyes. Let's close our eyes. I'm not going to make you pray. Okay, we're going to close your eyes. Now, at this moment, you can create your own reality. Because you don't have to see anything, okay? You can pretend whatever you want. You can live in this false reality. You can pretend right now that you are in Disneyland. You can pretend that you're in Disneyland and that there's rides going all around and it's kind of quiet, which doesn't make sense because Disneyland's a loud place. But you can make up whatever storyline you want. You can make up whatever imagination you have in your mind because that's what darkness permits. Darkness allows you to not realize the fullness of your consequence. You can open up your eyes. It blinds you to reality. And a lot of us don't want to deal with the reality. The reality hurts too much. And this is why the Serenity Prayer that we say at Celebrate Recovery, to accept the things that I cannot change. Because these things are simply reality. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm dealing with. My actions led to these consequences, and I have to accept that. But we don't want to accept those things. We would rather stay in the dark, unaware. You know, the darkness, it causes all kinds of problems in our life. But the light, it brings clarity. So we're scared of the darkness, we're scared of the light because we don't want to be exposed. But what we also need to understand about the light is that it's very helpful. It's very beneficial. You see, light also brings clarity. I remember years ago, I was in Colorado also. I was in the mountains in Colorado. And we were hiking with some of my friends. And one of my friends went a different route, and he was supposed to meet us halfway. And he wasn't wearing a shirt. He just had a little water bottle. He had no light. And we were supposed to meet halfway, and we got to our halfway meeting point, and it was starting to get dark, and our friend wasn't there. And all of a sudden, now it's very dark, and our friend still isn't there. And fear really starts to creep in. And we called search and rescue, and search and rescue was unavailable. They said, sorry, we can't help you until the very next day. But what they didn't understand was that our friend had no shirt, he had no just a little bit of water, and he had no light. We didn't even know if he would make it through the night in those Colorado mountains. And it was a very scary moment. And my friend and I, we desperately searched frantically for my friend for hours. We were calling out his name, hiking down the trails. And we were only able to see with our little headlamp 3 to 4 feet in front of us. It was a very fearful moment. Maybe one of the more anxiety-ridden moments of my life. At some point, I actually thought, and if you've ever been lost in the woods, you have these kind of symptoms. But I wanted to throw off my backpack and just run in the middle of the woods and scream at the top of my lungs. Because I felt like I was literally going crazy. But But what was it that caused this? It was the darkness. If it wasn't for the darkness, then that fear wouldn't have set in. You see, the darkness kind of has a way of getting us in trouble, but light makes things clear. Has anybody ever tripped on something in the dark? Yeah. The darkness created that opportunity for you to hurt yourself. The darkness created that opportunity for you to get lost. But light brings clarity. We know that the lighthouse for the ocean is for sailors who are going through storms, and they're not able to see clearly, and they need a guiding light to show them where the shore is. They need that guiding light to let them know about the danger that exists around the coast right there. Light brings clarity. Light is a very good thing, but we're scared of the light because we don't want to be exposed. But what we don't often realize is that the light actually is what gives us the guidance that we need. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." God's word, it gives us guidance. It gives us direction. How many times you've been in a junction in your life and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I should go this way. I don't know if I should go that way. And it's all very muddled and very confusing. And you have no clarity. The best thing that you could do during those times is to go to God's word. The psalmist writes, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You show me the direction that I need to go." Satan is the author of confusion. This is why he loves darkness. But light brings clarity to the path that you should walk down. And if the word of God doesn't align with your path, you're probably going to get hurt. You're probably going to hurt somebody else. You're probably going to get lost, and you're going to find yourself in a place that you never thought you were going to end up. And you're going to be in trouble, and somebody's going to have to come rescue you. But something about darkness, though, it blinds you to some of the realities. You know, let's talk about envy for a second. Envy is blindness. Covetousness is blindness. It's selective blindness. Because you know what you're blind to? You're blind to the things that you have in your life. You're blind to the things. You choose to be blind to the things that God has given you. And yet you have it in your mind, if I just had this, if I just obtained this level of accomplishment, if I just had that person's wife, if I just had that person's job, if I just had this level, all of culture and marketing is all about making you feel like you're lacking. It makes you feel like you're lacking. Advertising, it causes you to feel like you are lacking something and you need something else in order to bring fulfillment. And envy causes you to be blind to the reality that you already have everything you need for life and for godliness, that God has provided everything that you need. Envy causes you to not realize the good blessings that God has already imparted to your life. But you would say, no, that's not enough. No, I don't even want to think about the good things that God has already given me, because I would so much rather have fill in the blank. I need this in order to receive this kind of satisfaction. That's blindness to the reality that God has already given you everything you need for life and godliness, and that all satisfaction can only be found in Him and Him alone. Amen? Amen. How many people are so glad that you were once blind, but now you can see? Amen? Amen? Amen. You know, there's a story of a blind man in John 9, and this man, it says that he was blind from birth. Similar to all of our conditions, he was blind from birth. He was blind physically in a way that we're all blind spiritually from the get-go. And it says in John 9, it says that as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And the disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Why do we always have to blame somebody? Don't you notice that whenever there's a trial, it feels like there needs to be a blame? We need to set the blame on yourself or shame someone else. But Jesus says this. Jesus answered, "It was not this man that sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And then he does this. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with his saliva. What any good doctor would do, right? Protocol. This is what they teach at medical school. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. This is exactly what God did with you in your life, that you were once blind to the reality of your sin. You were once blind to the reality of hell. You were once blind to the reality that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you. And Jesus, in his all full knowledge, he knew what it would take to save you. And he might have done it in some totally untypical way, just like that. I mean, we heard some stories today about people that have come to Jesus in ways that they would have never anticipated. He could go through all means, but God is searching for you, and God is going to find you, and he's not going to leave you in that blind, desperate condition. He's going to come after you, and he's going to give you the gift of sight. He's going to give it to you so that you can see the spiritual reality, and your eyes will be opened. And this is good news. This is good news once you awake to the reality that Jesus Christ is fullness of life, that he, and only through him can you experience life. Amen? Amen. Okay, so what do we do now? What do we do with that? What do we do understanding that God is light? What do we do understanding that light produces exposure and it also produces clarity? Well, you need to know this, that now that God has imparted himself into you through his son, Jesus Christ, that now you are children of the light. You have a brand new identity. That you reflect him. You reflect his image. It says in Ephesians 5:8, it says that at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. So walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. There are all sorts of fruitless deeds of darkness that are listed out in Scripture. And I think that they make themselves very well evident. There are no secrets about fruitless deeds of darkness, what those things are. It doesn't take much research in Scripture to kind of get some lists of things that the children of light should not be doing. But God says that now you are a brand new creation. Okay, you're no longer defined by darkness, but now you're defined by light. So you're children of the light. You are children of the light. So now you bear the same image of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he says that I am the light of the world. And guess what? You have received the same inheritance as Jesus Christ through the work that he did. And so now you have become lights of the world. You've become lights of the world. Now you bear God's image. Something has been done in your spirit that has caused you to be different. It's caused you to be attractional. Fran saw it when she came into Harvest House. Something is different about the people here. Something is different. And it's not just that we have a lot of food, and so we're really happy about that. But we're excited because we have a hope and we have a joy and we have a peace that can't come through any other means in the world. It passes beyond understanding. And she recognized that and she saw that and it came out in our friendly attitudes. And she said, I want that. So now you are different. You're no longer in the dark, but now you're walking in the light. Okay, so we get just a really good example. This is for everybody who has ever complained or grumbled, okay? It says in Philippians 2:14, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent. And he re-explains himself, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. In your workplace, when everybody else is grumbling and complaining, when everybody else is annoyed at your boss and they make it well known, when everybody else is gossiping about such and such, in your family, when things are going really bad and there's a lot of complaining and there's a lot of, why me, why me? You shine like lights in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. You shine like lights in the world. And people look at you and they say, yeah, I recognize that something's different. And I want what you have. This is one real practical way of looking at this. Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, okay, people, disciples, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Okay, so what does it say right here? It says that this light that God has given you, that it's not something that you should put a cloak on. It's not something that you should veil. It's not something that you should try to cover up. You shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. But it's something now that can be used to be a blessing to so many other people And here's the big deal. It says that do your works before men. All right, well, this kind of contradicts some of the other things that we said about doing good works in secret. But Jesus says this. He says, do your good works before men. Why? So that they may give God glory. So that they may give God glory. How many times do we do good works so that we receive the glory? So that somebody else notices. Somebody else says, thank you. Somebody else says, wow, look at that guy. He's a cool guy. He's so nice. So scary. What is it? There's something in us that wants that kind of acknowledgement. We want the glory. But Jesus says, do good works before men in order that they may see it and that they may give God glory. So that's our attention, is not to soak it all up, not to soak up everybody's affection towards us, but to rather, we're just revealing the true light. We're witnesses to the light. This is what John the Baptist was, a witness to the light. So we recognize that in and of ourselves that we aren't the true light, but we reflect his glory and we point other people to him. So when somebody says, what it is about you that's so different? What is it? You're able to give your testimony. Man, well, here's the thing. I recognize that there's nothing good in me. I recognize that I don't deserve anything, but by the grace of God, he has transformed my life and he's given me a hope, and I want to share with you that same hope. You have an opportunity all the time to live as children of the light. You know, I had a chance to sing this song all over the world. Okay, I was in a choir. Did you guys know this? I was in an international choir, sang in several different countries. I was at one meeting, and there was over 1 million people at this prayer meeting in Nigeria, and I had the profound privilege to sing in front of all these people. I just kind of stood in the back and just lip-synced. But I was a part of a group. I was a part of a group that wasn't even like a legitimate choir, but we did those little dramas, you know, the human video dramas. We haven't done one of those in a while. I think we need to resurrect a couple of them. But we would do those, and we would sing this song, this one song. And you guys all know this song. You ready to hear my beautiful voice that millions of people have heard all over the world, okay? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. We should just end church like this. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. How did I do? All right. One time I hit a note, and my wife told me I hit a note, and I couldn't believe it. So it was one of the best compliments she's ever given me. Okay, so. There's only been a few. No, I'm just, all right. Yeah, so. But here's the thing. We all recognize the darkness around us. The darkness pervades, and we see it, and now you have an opportunity to say, what am I going to do about the darkness? Am I going to join in the darkness? Am I going to whine about the darkness? Am I going to complain about the darkness? Am I just going to recognize the darkness? It doesn't take a genius to recognize that the world is a dark place. And it really doesn't take a genius to provide commentary on that. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that we live in a fallen world. Everybody knows that things aren't right, that the government's not right. Everybody knows that the neighborhood isn't right. Everybody knows that this person has issues. That's no secret. So what are we going to do knowing that darkness exists and pervades in our world? Jesus says that you are the light of the world. So now go, love other people the same way that I love them. Martin Luther King said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. You love people and you love them and you shine forth that same good, perfect, amazing goodness that has been done inside of you. Now you can be someone who reflects God's goodness onto others. And this is good news. This is good news. You know this, though, that this light that comes from us, it doesn't just emanate. We can't just create it. You know, light is always a response to some kind of reaction. Okay, light by itself really is nothing. It's just something that came from a reaction. So whether it's a chemical reaction or an electrical reaction, it produced light. There's something that happened that produced light. And it's the same with you. Same with you, that light only comes from the source. There's something that happened inside of your life. Jesus did a work in your life. and he changed your soul, he changed your spirit, and now you're producing the light that can only come from above. John 15 says that I am the true vine, and unless you're connected to me, you cannot produce fruit. God gives us this ability to shine. This should bring us to our faces all the time. This should bring us to our knees and say, God, I need your light. God, I can't do it on my own. I'm not a good enough person. Let's look at this last example, and I'm going to close with this. This example of Moses. Moses, did you guys know the story about Moses when he goes up on Mount Sinai and he receives the Ten Commandments? He receives the law and he receives it and God speaks to him and he's face to face with God. And there's this reaction that happens to Moses' face when he's face to face with God. It says in Exodus 34:35 that whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove this veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. It caused Moses' face to literally shine when he was around God. When he was face to face with God, he would radiate that same glory. This is a response from being with the Master, from being with the King, from being next to the light. He couldn't help but reflect it. Now, it says in 2 Corinthians 3 that Moses, he had this gift. He had this gift of a face-to-face meeting with Jesus, and it showed, it radiated from him. And he produced the law. And the law itself, it exposes. There was glory attached to even the condemnation that came from Moses when he revealed the law. But in 2 Corinthians 3, it says that how much greater now is your light going to shine because you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. You see, Moses' radiant face came from a meeting with God. And everybody looked at it and it was glowing and it was so bright that Moses had to put a veil over his face. But now it says that all of us have the Spirit of God living inside of us. We have a source and he's living in you. And he produces light. And that light shines before all men. And people see you. And it says that they give praise to God in heaven. This is good news for us. That God is light. And that he gives you the opportunity to share that exact same light. So that you can be a blessing to others. Let's have the worship team come on up here. We can